entertain?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I got up this morning and started going through my sermon and was convicted myself that the majority of it was coming from my flesh. God was like, this is not coming from a good spot in you. I think it's funny when God can get to us a lot of different ways. As I was, again, kind of going through all my thoughts, and I was actually getting really excited about this sermon. It's like, this is going to be good. And about mid-thought, I felt like God sort of stopped me and was like, you know, this is really good because it's all coming from an icky place in you. And I was like, but I'm right. I'm like, yeah, but you're not loving. Oh, gosh darn it. And then, you know, for some of you this will mean more than others, but to kind of like, again, God can just get to us in weird ways. Our daughter Mo had one of these house Bibles, and looks like it might have been a house Bible that Mary Sue Thompson wrote in. Which, for those of you who know, she's not here anymore. She died a little while ago and was young gal. Like, that's sort of sobering. It's very odd that Mo would have that particular Bible that I'm sitting through, and you know, it sort of sends a lot of churning in my soul about what actually matters and what's actually important, especially in a life where a lot of us have experienced pain or loss in one way or another. Make you think about what really matters. So let's pray. Before we pray, I'm Josh. Most of you guys all know that. I'm not a pastor. And Brandon just thought, because I was a film student and I care a lot about movies, I'd be a good guy to have talk about media for 3 weeks. And so hopefully God blesses his time. So let's pray. God, you're amazing. God, you love us. You care about us. You know us. And God, I just pray this final week, I've never wanted people to think all media is just evil and of itself or just bad, but I wanted people to take time and look at themselves and see what they're maybe missing out in their relationship with you, the person who loves them more than anybody else, the person who cares about them more than anybody else. God, and this world is so full of coping mechanisms and pain and brokenness. It's easier to find coping mechanisms than it's ever been. And God, I pray that we would look at ourselves, and not just with our media, but with everything. And help us to be people that will sell everything that we have and buy a field so we can have what's actually valuable. God, help us to be people that recognize that the only answer that we can bring to others is what we found in you. And it wasn't a one-time thing that we just got saved and then it was over, but that was the beginning of a journey of getting to know you and understanding you. God, and that's why you put people here, was to get to know you and understand you and have a relationship with you. And that's why you're waiting. Nate prayed that a while ago. That's why you're waiting to come back. You want more. So God, you're great. I just pray that that would be what would come across today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so a couple of weeks ago, I put a lot of questions towards you guys. I talked about, hey, media's got a lot of purposes. It can be good. And I talked about how media, in my mind, encompasses everything from books that you read to social media to movies that you watch to podcasts that you listen to the radio to games on your, like, the whole gamut. I asked you some questions. I'm like, are you using it to cope? Are you just passively using it? Are you actually engaging with it, trying to bring good to others? Are you trying to defend where you're at, or are you trying to get to where you need to be? Talked about the donut thing where it's like, hey, you know, we have lots of areas of our life where we're like, well, I know if I eat a donut, it's not good for me and there's consequences of it. And you might eat the donut anyway. But a lot of times we view media things as like, there's no real consequence here. Are we taking time to be with God? Or are you just finding things about God? Are you just listening to sermons, which again is really good. Sermons are good. Worship music is good. But are you actually taking time to be with God? One-on-one, you and him, and listening to him. Have we taken cultural norms as what we think is okay? And I talked about the movie Sullivan's Travels, where the guy realized, man, I just want to make comedies, because he watched this community come together for their once-a-week movie that they all watched together, and they all laughed, and it was good. He's like, I want to make people laugh, because that's good. And go, well, yeah, maybe it is good once a week for an entire community to come together and enjoy a movie together, and that was the only TV or radio they had, and I don't know, I could sort of see that argument. But that's not our intake anymore. But we still use that same argument. It's fun. I'm watching it because they watched it. I want to be in the know. One of one thing that I did sort of intentionally this year, because I was curious, is I intentionally did not watch several kind of real big Netflix shows or shows that came out on TV that a lot of my coworkers watched and a lot of my church friends here watched. Probably the biggest one was Stranger Things. Right? I didn't watch it. Part of it was because we were busy, but also part of it was I wanted to see if it would actually impact my relationship with anybody. It didn't in any meaningful way. Maybe in the moment, oh yeah, I haven't seen that. Partially for me, it was really easy. I didn't care if you spoiled it. I didn't care. But it didn't. Oddly enough, as big of a deal as it was in the moment, people were on to the next thing very quickly, as they often are. And you know, I'll play video games, some with my coworkers, very occasionally. It's fun. But I realized, I'm like, if I actually like bought every new game that they hopped onto, I could never keep up. Like, it's 1 week to another, to every Steam sale that happens, they're playing a new one. I couldn't keep up. Talked about, asked as men, are you taking on that responsibility of, hey, you know, someday you might get married, and the responsibility and the weight of your spouse being able to come and ask you something and you having an answer for them, a spiritually wise, understanding answer. And then I talked about Proverbs 31 with the gals and how Instagram and Pinterest probably isn't helping you get there either. Talked about video games and anything else. Are you using this to create a reality that helps you cope? I'm not successful in life, but man, my guy's level 31 and he's got a cool outfit. Good for you. In the end, it's not going to help you. But is that what we're doing? Really? Like, if we're really honest with ourselves. With the news, is it actually helping you? Talked about how it's not a service to you. Is it actually helping you? Is it helping you follow God more earnestly? Are you actually doing something about the thing that you're fretting about because you just read about it? Or are you just fretting? Or are you doing something by posting about it and not actually doing anything? Is it actually your problem to fret over? Now, I don't want to diminish. There's things going on in our world that are not good. Really not good. But I wonder a lot of times if the amount of energy we put fretting about things, we put other places, if some of those problems might go away. And then are we in the moment was one of the last things I talked about week one. I sort of took some of the questions from week one and week two and kind of mashed them together here. But are we in the moment? And I talked about storyline-wise and Jungle Book, the movie, the new live action one. There's like this whole point where from a story perspective, nothing matters. And it's fun, and there's Christopher Walken voicing a big orangutan, and it's funny, and there's fun moments, and there's Baloo, and you know, it's all fun. But nothing actually matters until Mowgli decides, I'm going to go back and deal with what Shere Khan did. And I think a lot of times we live our lives like we're in that sort of space where it's just kind of fun and nothing really matters. I'm waiting for my calling to happen and then it matters. I'm waiting for something to click. I'm waiting for this to be easier. You know, I kind of tried to pursue God. And, you know, I haven't really felt like I've heard from him for a while. And then we sort of give ourselves the hall pass to sort of disengage. And it's easy to disengage from relationships when they're not going super well. And just as disengaging from my marriage does not help it when it's not going super well, disengaging from my relationship with God when it's not going super well doesn't help it either. So when I'm talking today, we could talk about media specifically. I could rant and rave about movies. Trust me. And in some ways, I would love to do that. I think we have a lot of unwise thinking in the way that we engage with them and the things that we think is okay. Instead, I want you guys to just take everything in your life, and we're going to do the media fast together, and hopefully that helps people. I want you to take everything in your life and really look at it and go, is this helping me get closer to God? Because in the end, that relationship is going to be what matters. What am I coping? What am I using to replace that? And no, it won't be easy. There's, aside from a couple of verses like my yoke is easy and my burden is light, a lot of stuff that happens to people in the Bible is very hard. So there's valleys of shadows of death. Like there's the Psalms where David is constantly talking about awful things happening. But I think the ease and the burden comes from a relationship with God. So I just want to talk about a few things. Again, think about, I'm going to re-push you guys towards introspection. It'd be so much fun to just give you a list of do's and don'ts, but I'm just going to re-push back towards that. One of the first things that I want to talk about, I'm going to go to Matthew 19, 13 through 15. Give you a second if you want to turn there. Make sure. Yeah, great. Perfect. Okay. Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he placed his hands on them, he went on from there. And probably having three little girls has really changed my opinion on this verse and my thoughts on it. Like, what does this mean, the kingdom of heaven? I'm like, oh, simplistic faith, simplistic. But one thing that I've realized having kids, and this is probably especially true because I've got little girls. I'm sure it's true of boys too. And also, one thing I've realized doing engaging with a lot of marriage things in our own life is that kids, they are very oriented towards their relationship with their parents. Some of them might be a little bit more independent. Some of them might be a little bit more clingy. But they are very oriented towards their relationship with their parents. Their security comes from that. How they behave, so much of that is modeled after that. They are completely wrapped around that. And so much damage comes in later in their life into their marriages, into their future kids' lives, based on how healthy or unhealthy that relationship was. And so, I don't know exactly what Jesus was thinking there. In Matthew 18, he said, I promise you this, if you don't change and become like a child, you will never get in the kingdom of heaven. But if you are humble as a child, you are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus called a child over and made a child stand near him. And I just want to challenge you to think about, are you orienting your life, your security, your identity around your relationship with your Heavenly Father? Or are you getting it from other places? And when you watch stuff, when you play games, when you read stuff, when you do any, I don't care what it is, when you decide you're going to go work on your car, I don't, whatever. Ride your skateboard. I don't know. Watch the news. Are you orienting your life? Are you getting your security? Are you getting all of this from your Heavenly Father? Or are you getting it from other places? Do you believe that that's actually where it should come from? Or have you accepted other norms? Go to Psalms 119.97. Oh, actually, I take that back. We're going to do this. You don't have to go anywhere. Okay, so next, there's the rich young man, right? The very next thing after this in Matthew 19 is the rich young man. Okay? And the rich young man comes up and says, Teacher, what must I do to get eternal life? And Jesus answers them, you know, obey the commandments. And he's like, which one? And he lists them off. And he's like, I've kept all these. What do I still lack? Jesus says, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. And the young man heard this. He went away sad because he had great wealth. So Jesus places before this young man a pretty heavy thing. He had a lot. And Jesus is like, hey, give all this lot up and come and follow me. And the guy went away sad because he had great wealth. And when I read this verse, a lot of times I get convicted about all the things that are very small that I have to give up, and I walk away sad. Oh, I got to get up at 6 to have my quiet time. For some people, maybe that's not an issue, but sometimes for me, that's hard, especially when kids have been up all night. Or I can't go do this with my free time, and I get sad. What do you mean I can't have this? I deserve it. I gave all this up, and I'm a dad now, and this is hard, and this is my chance to get it. So I'm going to go get something that fulfills me. This is my chance to have fun or do whatever. You're walking away sad from probably pretty small things. Now, sometimes God does ask big things of us. I know there's been times in my life where I felt like there's pretty clear lines in the sand where God was like, this has to go. And it was big and it was hard. But so often I walk away all melancholy over some pretty little things. That rich young man, he might have inherited that money. He might have worked super hard to get it. I don't know. But that was a lot to ask of him. Especially because he was a good guy. Right? Probably kept the commandments way better than I do. So you're walking away from sad, from little things. Not believing, just as he didn't. But not believing that God is actually better. All right, now we're going to Psalm 119 for real. Psalm 119:97. It's a big one, the chapter. Four thirty-eight. And I think we've read verses like this every week, so. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws. For you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees. I hate double-minded men, but I love your law. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. Sustain me according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Uphold me, and I will be delivered. I will always have regard for your decrees. You reject all who stray from your decrees, for their deceitfulness is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your statutes. My flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe of your laws. When I read that, I am overwhelmed. And generally when I read the Psalms and Proverbs, both, I am overwhelmed at the call to orient myself around God. That is where wisdom comes from. That's where what matters comes from. Oh, I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. And when you're looking at your media intake, your relationships with other people, what you do with your free time, your hobbies, that's what I want to ask you. Is this bar, it feels really high. It feels impossible. Maybe not to you guys. To me, I look at that and I'm like, there is absolutely no way. I'm getting to this. And to a certain extent, maybe I'm not going to ever fully understand this until I get to heaven. And all the wickedness is gone from me, all the sinful nature. And I'm what I was meant to be. But what I want to challenge you guys with and encourage you, and as you're thinking about this, realize that as we try to orient our lives around this goal, this bar that seems insane, the reason that Jesus came is to be part of this process with you. That's why he made you. He doesn't care about efficiency. If God cared about efficiency, he wouldn't have created the entire universe in 6 days and then made this tiny plot of land kind of nice and stuck 2 people in it to take care of it. He clearly did not care about efficiency. He might have great things for you to go do, but that's not why he puts you here. He put you here to have a relationship with him. It's not for you to find your purpose. Your purpose is to have a relationship with him, to orient yourself around him. All the knowledge, all the things you can memorize, they're good. And if they help you towards that point, awesome. Otherwise, let them go. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. Do we take that kind of thinking with heaviness and weight? In Psalm 32, 32:7, I'll read it. If you want to go look, you can. But Psalm 32:7-11. Actually, I don't want to read other. I'm pretty sure I copy and pasted these verses out of the wrong version. So if you guys are reading along, Psalm 32, 7 through 11. You are my hiding place, and you will protect me from trouble and surround me with the songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the ways you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds a man, the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Are you giving God enough time to be your teacher? Or are you just looking for a checklist? Are you just looking for do's and don'ts? Are you sitting with him enough that he can actually instruct you? Are you treasuring his commands, even when they seem stupid? Like, I mean, I don't know if everybody's going to remember Karate Kid, wax on, wax off. One chunk of the room. Right? The kid thought it was stupid. He rejected it. Because he thought it was stupid. How often do we decide what's valuable and what's not based on what other people are around us, what they think? We live in a culture more and more that thinks Christianity is very dumb. If you don't think that's true, just pay a little bit of attention. Thinks that religion is very foolish. If you think that that's not impacting you, your courage, your faith, especially the more on this side of the room you get, not because you guys are weaker, but because we are inundated with it more. Okay? I think it's going to be really hard to really be strong in your faith. It's going to get harder. And the only thing that's going to keep you doing it and keeping you believing and keeping your life transforming is if your belief in your faith and your understanding and your relationship with God is rock solid. Our parents, they lived in a culture where being a Christian was a lot easier, and still 2/3 of their kids left the church across the nation. If you think it's going to be easier for us, I don't think that's a wise thought. If you think that like media can't really impact you, or you can't like the way you think, this will be sort of fun. Is anybody kind of watching the Olympics at all? Some, a couple people, a couple hands. Okay. And we had some fun. We watched a little bit of the opening ceremony with Adele, and it was really fun to like look at the flags and be like, hey, this country's from here and this is from here, and find it on the map. And there's all these cool people who can do all these cool things from all over the world. It's really cool. And they do things really well. But proof that it does not take much time for media to impact us is the Olympics. Okay. And they're so good at it. I watch them and I'm in awe. In 2 minutes, they can convince you to root and care for and love a figure skater that you have never heard of before in your life. And feel bad for her or him when they place or don't place where you were hoping. Within seconds. Oh, media doesn't impact me. Wasn't that terrible that happened to her? And she was from this place and da 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 da. She came out of nowhere. Media doesn't impact me. Really? Oh, that's different. I do better on other things. maybe. I doubt it. Not being mean, just saying. Because they're good at it. Right? They're good at it. That's okay. NBC's been making TV a lot longer than, you know, most of you in here have been alive. They're really good at it. They're really good at it. Brandon, you wanted to break bread afterwards, right? Yeah. I'm just saying how much to cut out of here. We're good. We're good. Okay. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. If you guys can't hear me, let me know. I don't know that I'm not very good at being heard, but I've had a couple of people tell me, they're like, you know, you don't, it's kind of hard to hear you a lot of times. So you can like wave your hand or yell at me or whatever. Okay. 1 Corinthians. Sorry, guys. There you go. Okay, here we go. So 3:10. 1 Corinthians 3:10. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light, and it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. But if it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping the flames. And here, with what we're building, this life that we have down here, it's laid upon foundation that Christ gave when he died for us. I don't want most of it to just get burned up when I get up there. I don't want to have it all go up in flames and I make it, which is great. I'm glad I'm saved. However that works. I don't want to get into that. But I don't want it to be like, yeah, you were down here. I put you down here for a relationship with me. I put you down here to have something happen with me. And you missed out. You missed out. And if God can miss out, he missed out too. He had hopes there. He made you with a hope. He made you with a belief that you were going to walk into something with him that is incredible. That's why he made you. It's why he knitted you together. Don't replace that with CNN or games or podcasts or even books about God. I think as a second-gen Christian, there's things that I got to see. You know, I've gotten to see a lot of different thoughts, the good and the bad in them, and you know, this is the answer. If Christians just think this, then everything's good. And I've gotten to see that walk out and be like, well, yeah, there was some good, but there was some not good there. Got taken too far. One thing that I have never seen where I thought people were being honest about it, I've seen people do some weird things. I'm like, I don't think this is actually you're pursuing your relationship with God. There's something else wacky going on in here. Because we can justify anything and take anything too far. But a pursuit of your relationship with God. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of hurt in believers and unbelievers alike. And probably the one place that we can go and actually get real healing from is from God. And often we'll stop in there, kind of like a gas station, and get a monster and drink that and move on and hope we can find this answer someplace else. So it's a little easier, a little cleaner. My wife and I were having a really challenging conversation about stuff in our life and in our marriage. And one of the things is we were talking about just things that we felt really stuck on that were really hard. And I was like, you know, as I'm thinking about this and we're trying to find different solutions and different ways to get around it, I'm like, I feel like we've sort of gravitated towards this idea of like, we have hope that God's going to change things. We have hope that God's going to bring wisdom in through other people. And they're all hoping God to do things, but we, and I think God wants us to have hope. And I think God wants us to get wisdom from other people on situations in our lives. But we had moved and spiritualized this slip into this place where my hope and my faith was in God to do things and not in God himself. I'm like, that's sort of weird. My faith was no longer in my relationship with him, in him providing my needs. Just him. It was in God doing something for me, getting the right people into my life, changing my life circumstances the right way, which are not necessarily bad things to pray for or to hope for. But I'd lost the attachment with my relationship with God, with him and me. Not what he's doing for me, not what I'm getting out of it, but I'd lost this line. And we're like, well, this is probably why we both feel a little stuck. We've lost this line. So as you're doing this media fast, do it to have a relationship with God. Do it to build your connection with him. Not necessarily just to even get, you know, figure out what you're trading. I think that is so key. What am I giving? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And I would encourage you to not necessarily just do it to gain more knowledge. Oh, knowledge I think is good, but as I've talked with other believers, I rarely find the problem being that you don't have enough knowledge. We have so much knowledge in our culture, especially in our vein of Christianity that we're in. Knowledge, although sometimes is the problem, find it's less the problem than actually having a real, authentic, engaged relationship with God where he is the answer. He is where you go to get wisdom. He is where you go to get comfort. He is where you go to find answers. And I do think it's going to be harder. I think it's going to be harder to see people saved. And I'm not to be like all doom and gloom or Josh is just a pessimist, but I think our culture's changing. I think it's going to be harder. You know, I think I was fortunate to get to be on a college campus just 2 years ago, going to college again. And just to be like, well, this is going to be tougher. The game has changed. The rules are different. But if there's one thing, no matter how the rules change, whether you can pray in schools, whether you can't, whatever the laws are on gender orientation, whatever the laws are on the way you can express your faith, all those things. And we often rely on those mechanisms to have our faith go forward. We count on them. That's the victory when we can get this law made or this or that or whatever. And we rely on those mechanisms to get the school to be okay with us doing this. We rely on those mechanisms and we forget that the mechanisms themselves don't mean anything if there's not something authentic to pour into them. We live in a very broken world. It's been broken for a long time. It's just getting more and more apparent. The veneer of Christianity is breaking off. This isn't, I mean, guys were writing books about how this is going to happen in the 60s and 70s. Like, it's already too late. It's already happened. And we're like, we're fine. And then it starts happening. And we're like, oh, oh my, we're in trouble. Our hope isn't in a party. Our hope isn't in laws. In this broken world, people are looking for things that actually are a real connection and actually are going to change them. And if you don't have that sense, if you're getting it from social media too, God can save anybody. He can write on walls, right? Like, God, like, he doesn't need you to do this, right? Like, he could just show up and be like, well, all right, we're just going to change everybody. But he didn't. He came down like a man. He got born in a manger. He set it up because he wanted to have a relationship and a connection with you. And he wanted to do things with you, through you. Because he doesn't care about efficiency. I say that a lot because for me, that's a big deal. I'm a big fan of efficiency. What's the fastest way to do anything? Big fan of efficiency. If God cared about efficiency, he would not have built the world this way. He cares about you. He showed up and had shepherds see him first, not because he cared about efficiency, because he cared about people. And so when you engage with this, that's what I want you to pursue. That's what I want you to think about. That's what we're trading. And if you believe, and if you think, And I think there has been probably a lack of spiritual fervor in us, partially because we've foolishly put our hope in other things and also partially because we've been so distracted. And I might be wrong in that. What do I know? But I know that a lot of people, they look at me and a lot of them wouldn't look at me and go, wow, his life's really different. Some people would. Some people wouldn't. And at the end of the day, what scares me is not that they look at my life and go, oh, you know, maybe Josh is different. Maybe his Christianity thing's a thing. Maybe God's a thing. But that I look at my own life and I go, is this really different? Does this really work? Is this really a thing? I know that's sort of a heavy thing to think about. But there was a time in my life where I really doubted whether or not, just, and even now I'll have moments where I'm like, does this actually work? Like, I don't know. I believe it does. I've seen it. I wanted to set my face and my life in a way that no matter what any man says, no matter what anybody sees, I've pursued God. God has changed me. God has made me a different person. And no matter what you say, no matter what you think, I can look at you with confidence and say, I know this is true. I don't want to sit there and be like, yeah, I'm not actually sure either. So if you're wondering, and if you're just honest with yourself, like, you know, I wonder a lot, is this really true? Is this really real? And I think sometimes for second genders, that can be a bigger question. I encourage you to take this time to pursue it with all your heart and find out. I don't think you'll be disappointed. If you're convinced, if you don't ever have doubts, if you don't wonder, then I encourage you and I challenge you to live that way. I talk to people a lot and they're like, I have no doubt about any of this stuff. I believe everything in the Bible is true and da 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 da. And I'm like, boy, I wouldn't guess that based on how you live. Maybe you should read it more closely. You might doubt more. You might doubt more. Or you might go, oh, if I really believe this, I should... I should do this differently. God is calling to you. God stands at the door and knock. Wisdom calls from the hilltops. Josh, I tried. Couldn't really find it. Do you believe that if you claw after the face of God, you will not be disappointed? So what are you trading it for? What are you doing this for? I don't want to just tell you media is bad. I don't want to tell you just get rid of it. I don't want to give you a checklist. But what I do want to do is go think about what you want and go for it. And believe you won't be disappointed if you do. And take this time as a kickstart for that. It'll look different for everybody. It'll look different because of what you use to cope. What you use to distract yourself. Some of you might be like, well, I don't have any media issues in my life. Like, well, you might have to give up your God of efficiency. You might have to give up your God of self-righteousness. You might have to get, there might be different things that you might be like, hey, this has become your God. We turn God into what we value so often. Oh, God really cares about this. And a lot of times it often lines up to what we care about a lot. And then we say that's what God cares about. And then that's how we orient our life. And we don't actually spend enough time. And then we find books that verify that written by good Christian people. And then we find teachings that verify that written by good Christian people. And we don't actually spend enough time one-on-one with God to go like, hey, maybe you've kind of narrowed it down to something that was easy for you to digest. God is not easy to digest. He is not easy to nail down. He is so big. He is so grand. He's beyond anything you can ever imagine. And that's why he can design all of you to be special and unique and desire a relationship that is unique and special with each one of you. If he wasn't crazy, psychotic, freaky big, he couldn't do that. So that's where you're going at, is a God that knocked on the door and is calling out for you and wants to connect with you in a way that our world would love if you never did. And it'd be even better if you just go through the motions and get burnt out and eventually give up on this thing because it's not worth it, or your kids decide it's not worth it either because they see how much hypocrisy there is in your life. So anyway, and as you stop there, break bread. Think about the stuff that God has done for us as we do this. Brandon's going to come up here and lead us through that. God loves you. He did not have to do what he did, but he did. And he wants to connect with you. And every time you have another idol in your life, every time you value something else over than him, it goes, you're missing something. Doesn't mean you can't have fun. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy things. God made a really cool planet. If he didn't want us to enjoy things, he would have made this place more barren and different. This is a cool place. God loves you. Anyway, let's pray. God, I pray you'd help me to look at my own life and my own heart. God, and see and sense that you love me. See and sense that you have good, that you want to have moments, that this life matters. That's why you made it. Because this matters. It's important to you. God, help me to seek after you and to pursue you and to see your laws and who you are, your precepts, the way you think about things is what I should treasure. God, that should be it. That should be it. And God, help that love that I can have come into me as I treasure what you say and treasure how you think about me and about the world, be able to flow out into other people. And they go, this person loves me differently. And it's not just because they read a book on how to make eye contact when they listen. But that they have a sense that there's a God that made them too. And I sense that. And I can bring that with confidence and with power and with patience and with forbearance because you have been patient and forbearing with me. God, make me like a child with you where I just want to know where I'm at with you, where I seek that relationship, where I take you at your word, and where what you think about me matters more than anything else. And I just pray that this time with this church, it wouldn't just be a time where we gave something up, but it would be a time where we found more of you. Because that's what matters in the end. That's it. And I pray that this would be a time that you would bless that, that you would bring that, and that we would encourage each other in it and make it good. And that we'd be together in one, not just in giving something up, but in pursuing the God who loves us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.